This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. It's an uncertain time for refugees trying to come to America. And it's an equally uncertain time for those who have made it their life's work to resettle refugees in this country.
Mary Flynn is the Program Director of Refugee and Immigrant Services at Lutheran Social Services of Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. Since 1974, the organization has resettled more than 10,000 refugees from 15 countries.
Both the organization and a majority of this year's incoming refugees have been affected by the Trump administration's January executive order on immigration. But Flynn tells Lake Effect's Mayan Silver that she's staying focused on the work yet to do. Flynn says she wants people to understand that it may take some self-reflection to relate to the needs of refugees.
I always think of myself, what if I got on a plane and the door opened and I ended up somewhere that was completely foreign? Not necessarily my choice, didn't speak the language, knew nothing of the culture. What would I need to get started? And that's what refugee resettlement agencies do. We greet people at the airport. Our jobs actually start at the airport. We really have no influence on pre-arrival processing. The government does all that beforehand, all the vetting, all the clearance and everything. And so when people do arrive, they're looking for that face of welcome, and when they see that it's one of our staff, the look on their face is sheer relief. It is the most amazing look on people's faces to know that someone knows their name and is there to meet them and to help them take their first steps into the country. It's just incredible.
Well, and of course, it's not just someone with no cultural background who's just landed in a foreign land. They're also coming from some traumas in their life. Isn't that the case?
Absolutely. Refugees are refugees because of persistent threats of violence, death. There's been trauma. There's been torture. There's been permanent displacement. They have been through so much. Because our job starts at the airport, there's an acknowledgement among the team that I work with that when people get on the plane in whatever country they're coming from, and that door closes, and they fly over to the United States. When that door opens in the United States, their lives have permanently and drastically changed. Hopefully it's for the better. But there's also a sense that I see that they realize that they've left an awful lot behind, and that in itself is very, very healing. But there's also a secondary trauma, and that's coming to the United States. Life here isn't always easier for people. In fact, sometimes it's much harder, but it's absolutely better than what they came from, because what they came from was constant uncertainty, danger, threats. We recently welcomed a case a few weeks ago where the man was clearly tortured and he has permanent injuries and he's going to have to live with that the rest of his life. So to actually see that and see how it affects him. And the first thing he said to us is, when can I start working? How soon can I get a job? And we're looking at him and we're thinking, you know, he has an injury. But his hope is that he could get back on his feet and move ahead. And that's really great.
So you meet these refugees at the airport. What are some of the activities that your organization gets involved with after that point?
We get the kids enrolled in school. We get the parents enrolled in ESL. We help them apply for a Social Security number. We assure that they get what's called a refugee health screening to do a really good comprehensive evaluation with an eye on communicable diseases, get them healthy, connect them to a primary physician, try to find a dentist, get them started on employment activities, and get them a job as soon as possible. We do ESL classes for new arrivals. That's a very, very basic ESL class. And then they're better prepared to move into community-based ESL later on. Refugees learn English very, very quickly, given the right tools. And then we also provide cultural orientation, because we do know that we have to give people information, and the information is really overwhelming. But we have to repeat that often. And so cultural orientation classes give us the opportunity for repetition, and Milwaukee Transit comes over. We put people on a bus and take them for a ride, teach them how to use the bus. We have police officers come in, and that is really interesting to see because many times refugees don't survive contact with military or police officers. And for them to have a really positive, engaging, almost social time with a police officer, sit in a police car without fear at that time of being arrested for whatever, it's fun. You know, we have a lot of fun too, and people learn a lot when they're having fun. So those are just some examples of what we do.
And what is the legal status of these refugees when they come in? Are they automatically entered as citizens, or does it take a while for them to become citizens?
You know, thank you. That is a great question, because if there's one thing that I want people to know is that refugees arrive with full permanent legal status in the United States. At 1 year, they do have to do adjustment of status, which adjusts their status from refugee to permanent alien resident, green card. And then at 5 years, they're eligible and expected to apply for citizenship. But if they remain law-abiding, if they do everything that they're supposed to do, they will be eligible for all of that up until citizenship. But they do arrive with permanent legal status, authorized and expected to work as soon as possible.
And Lutheran Social Services has been involved in this work since 1974, right?
Right.
What are some of the countries that you've been witnessing come in, that you've helped come in as refugees? And do you have any sense of how many of those become citizens?
The majority become citizens. Absolutely. That's a great dream and a great hope for people. The citizenship test is not easy. It's conducted all in English, as it should be. But people do really well. I mean, that's really a very, it's a badge of honor for refugees. You know, that's what they came here for, was for all the opportunities of citizenship. Since 1974, LSS has welcomed over 10,000 refugees. I've been involved since December of 2009. Even since 2009, things have changed a great deal. Refugee populations are now highly diverse. In 1974, from the historical review, the initial resettlement trends were people from Southeast Asia. In recognition of the efforts and the assistance that people from Laos and Vietnam and Cambodia gave the United States, they began this very organized effort. That continued throughout the 1980s and into the 1990s, there was a wave of Somali Bantu. They're kind of an underclass of Somalia, and they had some special needs. Then there were Congolese. There was a large wave from the former Yugoslavia, and that was a very important undertaking. Once again, absolutely a humanitarian effort by the United States government. Once again, about 10 or 15 years ago, there was another large wave of Somali Bantu, and Hmong actually came in around 2003 to 2005. Since I've been involved in 2009, highly diverse. We have 5 different ethnicities from Burma coming: Congolese, Rwandan, Eritrean, Ethiopian, Iraqi, Afghans. It's just very diverse, and our staff reflects that as well.
So I was going to follow up with that question. How do you get the inside cultural know-how as to how to relate to the refugees?
I think that's kind of an interesting question for me, because one of the things that I feel in my daily work is that you do not have to have, it helps to have a cultural understanding of refugees, of course it does, but they're really yearning to figure out how to fit in with our culture, with the, you know, mainstream American culture. And it's okay to not be of the refugee population. And then sometimes you can really be more of assistance in teaching and integrating if you're not. But I also have wonderful, talented staff with deep expertise. I was just talking to someone about that this morning. I have people that were architects, teachers, doctors, interpreters for the governments where they were at. So there's a lot of professional knowledge, and I'm very fortunate to have some very talented staff that can provide some of that cultural expertise, but also know how to conduct business in an American way.
Well, and we can't talk about the topic of refugees in the United States without relating to the executive order that was signed in the end of January. So if you could tell me a little bit about what parts of the order most affect your services at Lutheran Social Services.
The biggest part of the executive order is that as of January 27th, there was to be a 120-day hold on all refugee arrivals. And that's been the biggest impact for us so far.
What are some of the ways that you've been responding to that?
Well, day by day, we've been trying to take a conservative and thoughtful approach. Rather than react, we're just trying to respond with what is. And one of the things that has happened is that, of course, there was a court ruling that softened some of the executive order. And consequently, people that had valid visas for entry into the United States and had travel already scheduled to enter and come to Milwaukee as a refugee have had their travel reinstated. So we are receiving about 30 people in February. Just yesterday, we were notified that people that had advanced visas and travel may also be allowed to come in, and that would be up until March 30th, but we haven't received confirmation of that yet. I have a feeling that with the 120-day hold, I think that the administration is really looking for an opportunity to learn more and truly understand this process. And once they do, I'm really hopeful and feeling pretty confident that they'll understand that this is really a representation of our democracy and that they'll have more comfort in moving ahead.
The order itself says that they're putting it on hold for 120 days to determine additional procedures which should be taken to ensure that people approved for refugee status do not pose a threat to the security and the welfare of the United States. Do you anticipate that there are going to be any stricter guidelines involving people that you deal with?
I don't see how it could be any stricter. The background screening guidelines are done quite a bit. I mean, up to two or three times before people arrive, sometimes even more. I don't see how they could be more strict. And they're very thorough, and they take anywhere from 24 to 36 months, and there are no shortcuts, even for the Syrians. Refugees are fleeing the same thing that we are. When they hear about events like this, they are horrified, and they're very fearful that they will be grouped in with people that do these things. And I often am reminded that refugees are a microcosm of our greater society. There are good people, and there are just a very few bad people that can shed a very strong spotlight on a whole population.
And, of course, the executive order says that entry of nationals of Syria, it's detrimental to the interests of the United States. What does a blanket statement like that mean to someone who works in your field?
Somebody once said to me, in fact, it's just about a week ago, he said, there are so many easier ways for a terrorist to get into the country than through the refugee system, because you have to sit in very uncomfortable living circumstances for 24 to 36 months to pass the screenings. The screenings are done repeatedly. You're interviewed repeatedly. Everything has to match. And then you have to wait until your travel is scheduled. And once again, your chances of getting here as a refugee are so slim. You'd have to be very patient or very lucky to get in through the refugee program. I also heard on NPR yesterday that there are different ways that terrorists are now recruiting right here in the United States, and they never have to enter the country to do so. I'm hoping once again that this pause gives the administration and those who are providing guidance and input, gives them a chance to take into account the technology of today and how recruitment may be actually happening versus terrorists coming in on the shirt tails of people who are fleeing the very same thing that our country is so worried about.
So what are some of the numbers involved at this point, given this executive order, in terms of how many refugees were you looking to resettle before the order came out, and how many are being involved now?
Well, there's four resettlement agencies in Milwaukee. There's Pan-African Community Association, International Institute of Wisconsin, Catholic Charities, and then LSS. LSS also has an office in the Madison area, and Madison was supposed to receive about 110 in the fiscal year that runs from October 1st to September 30th. The Milwaukee office was supposed to receive about 410. Right now, we are unsure as to how many we're going to receive. Our numbers are about 35% of capacity for this year in Milwaukee. And in Madison, we're at about 50%, but I don't think those numbers are going to go up a whole lot. I'm concerned that an ulterior motive of the executive order may be to close down as much resettlement capacity as possible. And so offices, all of our offices, are focused on maintaining the quality staff that we have, maintaining a safety support network for refugees who are already here, and reassuring them that this is a democratic process and that justice will prevail.
So what are some of the things that the organization is looking to do to stay at capacity?
Wisconsin's always been a really warm and welcoming state. There's been an outpouring of volunteer time, of household goods, furniture donations. But right now, all the agencies need infusions of cash. This is a very uncertain time, and you can't just hire a refugee staff person because there are so many core services that we have to do and do well. We also are a resource to hospitals, medical professionals, educators, the public. It's very important that we have the capacity to continue to serve.
Well, and you're also engaging in continuing resettlement assistance for people that are already here?
We have a responsibility to complete all the core services within the first 30 to 90 days, and sometimes it does take 90 days. But when you open up a resettlement agency, you also, I always call it the refugee charter, we have a responsibility to provide ongoing information and referral to refugees up until 5 years after arrival, because they're going to need guidance as to how to do green cards and citizenship. Once again, the United States government has set up all of these expectations and guidelines for programs because they don't bring people here to do poorly. They want people to thrive and have opportunity and to get some guidance as to how to continue that path to full achievement of citizenship. So despite the executive order, we still continue to have significant responsibilities to the people that we serve as refugees, but also the communities who welcome them.
Thank you so much, Mary Flynn, for talking about this, for the work you do.
Thanks.
Mary Flynn is the Program Director of Refugee and Immigrant Services at Lutheran Social Services of Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. She spoke last week as part of UW-Milwaukee's Institute of World Affairs Fireside Forum series and also talked with Lake Effect's Mayon Silver.
You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You will be confronted by strange dialects. You will be fed with unusual diet.